Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
I think what that guy was saying was group chat, if I heard him correctly, because that's what this is. 720 WGN, John Landecker, group chat night on the program, which is one of my favorite things because I don't have to do anything. And that's always one of my favorite things. And there's a whole bunch of cool people around here is going to do the heavy lifting.
That's us.
There he is. Jack of all trades, man.
That's right.
Doing all the sports all the time.
Trying to.
Yeah, man. Sounds good. Obviously, Jack's here. Ashley's here. Eli's here. You know, it's sort of open season on the microphones, really. I mean, that's what it amounts to. It's like anything.
Anything goes.
Well, we really haven't had a discussion about, as usual, we've done no planning.
We didn't talk at all.
Nope, not at all. Which I find to be a really good way to get things going.
You never know what's going to come out.
No, you don't. But I do have something that happened last night on the show. You know, my little two-hour program yesterday. And it was something that occurred when I was listening to the WGN app. But I mentioned this last night on the air, and I did my little bit about what it was about and my confusion on all this. And then we had quite a few texts at the time where people were saying that the same thing had happened to them. Okay, try to explain yourself, John. So I'm in Minnesota. We got to start out with that, all right? And I'm listening to Bob on the WGN app, and they go to commercials, and every time they go to commercials, it's for some product in Minnesota.
Oh.
Yeah.
Regional ads?
How? How does that happen?
Maybe you told your phone location?
No, absolutely not.
You don't have to tell it anymore. It just takes it.
I think so.
You have
to
decline it. That's what you do.
I think somebody's or some things just sort of like...
But it's our stream, right?
Tracking us.
Oh, it's on the app? Yeah.
Yeah, but it's on the app.
Well, our stream has its own advertisements that we load in.
Right. Those are the own advertisements that WGN puts in.
Yeah.
But there's no ads there for Minnesota.
Not that I'm aware of.
Right?
Or you never
Michigan,
know.
Or somebody else texted last night and said they drove into Michigan listening to the app, and they broke for commercials, and everything that came on was a commercial for stuff in Michigan. I mean, it's very bizarre. Okay? So I couldn't figure it out, and we're going to try to trap it again today. But
you're trying to outsmart the smartphone?
I'm listening. At about 2:36, okay, I'm listening to Lisa. And I was able just to grab this short segment. Let's see if we can go here. Let's see. Right from this Minnesota ad, and back comes Lisa.
Yeah, how does it know?
Uh-huh.
How does it know?
I don't know. I love it, though.
Oh, my gosh. So, no, so AI, wherever, all that stuff freaks me out.
So I think wherever anybody goes from now on, out of state.
Send you the advertisement?
No, just listen on the app until, say you go to, I don't know. Where are you going to be partying next, Ashley?
Here. I'm not going anywhere. You got to save money.
You know what I mean. No weddings or...
No weddings.
Nothing.
I don't have to go to court in Kentucky, so I'm not going back there.
Wait. Did you tell us that story?
Yeah, it was my speeding ticket when I went 113 miles per hour on a 70.
Whoa.
You didn't say that part.
Yeah.
What kind of car
I definitely did.
What vehicle were we
It was my brother's Lexus.
So, whoa.
I was really risking it.
Lexus.
I was very close to having to go to court because I waited till the last possible day to do my safety class.
Yeah. I remember this conversation.
Oh, yes. I was very close to having to go back to Kentucky.
Yeah, I remember the conversation because I related the time in Indiana where they used to pull me over trying to come into town to do a morning show, and then I had to go to it was like, hey, John, how you doing? Oh, hi, officer. Nice to see you again.
It's like, hey there.
We're on a first-name basis. But that was like at 4:30 in the morning. So
this was at like 2:30 in the morning, probably.
Uh-huh. Okay. So next time you're in Kentucky or
wherever,
go to the app. And listen to one of the shows and see if all of a sudden there's commercials coming on for whatever region of the country you're in. I've never heard anything like that.
Well, here, my thing is, I bet if I listen to it here where I am, and if you were to listen to it at the exact same location, we'd probably get different advertisements.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Oh, no, absolutely. There'd be no reason for you to be getting a commercial from Minnesota if you're sitting there in downtown Chicago.
But I'm saying if you and I were in the same room at the same time,
yes.
listening to the same stream, I bet they'd be different.
So I bet we would be. There's only one way to find out.
I know. We have the technology. What are we doing?
Really? No kidding. You think they'd be different?
I think they'd be different. They would be more structured to me and what I search on my.
Oh, no.
Did you look up a location? Did you Google how to get to Minnesota on your phone? You just drove?
How to get to, well, I took Waze.
Well, so your phone is registering that and probably is like, well, he's going to Minnesota.
Well, then.
And then your location services on your phone.
Yeah, but that still, then what? Then how does that, even if I'll, okay, say it, that's all happening. How does that turn around? How does all of that equal a variety of Minnesota commercials suddenly appearing on WGN in Chicago?
Right.
I mean, there's one thing to have my location on the phone on, right? Mm-hmm. But this is the app, mm-hmm. the WGN app. I don't get how you get from one to the other.
The timing is what confuses me. How does it know mm-hmm. how much time we need to fill?
Right.
How?
I don't know if it happens. And it doesn't happen all the time. Because yesterday, after I'd heard it on Bob's show, I kept listening. And, you know, I'm listening to John Williams. And it's, you know, basically, I'm going to Ottawa. Or do you realize your parents are older than you are? Or, you know, I've got a dentist. Or... we're losing our hair. And there was, you know, what you hear John doing.
Yeah.
And there wasn't any, hi, welcome to the Minnesota Trade Association or whatever.
So, I don't know.
I always get Chevy ads.
Always get Chevy ads?
Yeah.
No matter where you are?
What are you driving?
Oh, no, wait, hold it.
It's trying to tell you you need a better car.
There's something that happens when you go onto the app for the first time and you hit the stream.
Yeah, the bumper.
Oh, well, that,
and then there's an ad.
You see Lou.
Like
you
Chevy.
See Lou right
always
off the Lou's bat.
Face. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it could be Chevy or
Dean. Or
something else. Somebody else. Something along those lines, and then that's like the, I don't know. They made an agreement with that. Somehow
welcome to the stream video
on the stream, and we're going to let you know about this Chevrolet dealer before we get you to the actual program.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Oh well. a lot of questions and. No answers. So
yeah, we need a tech whiz. I think it's all AI.
Well, it's got to be. But it's just that I've never had that experience before. I've listened to...
And you've been in Minnesota
time. I heard from people who were like, they said, hey, John, I was driving into, listening to Bob driving into Michigan on the app, and suddenly all these commercials appeared for products in Michigan.
Well, see, here's the thing, too. I mean, your phone's always listening.
I know.
Which is terrifying.
I know.
I'm going to get ads from Minnesota. I'm not even in Minnesota because we're talking about it right now. Our phones, we're all going to get that. We have to report back in the group chat if that happened.
We've been getting a ton of texts and calls from people all over the country saying that they're getting specific ads for their states, too. Wondering
really?
And they're also wondering how this is the first we're seeing about this.
No kidding!
They're like, you idiots. We've been dealing with this for years.
Missouri, Texas, Idaho, Washington, Wisconsin.
Idaho?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Florida.
Well, now I'm curious.
Texas, Idaho, Washington, and they get local. That's right, local advertising for wherever it is.
Well, how the heck? I don't understand.
John, every time I listen to WGM on phone when I'm at my daughter's house in Wisconsin, I get the same thing. Very creepy. You ask me.
Yeah.
Something's inside the radio and the phone and the internet, and it's going to get us. 20 minutes after 7:20. It's 7:20 WGN. Yes, I notice a distinct theme here. 7:20 WGN. For those who don't know, that's Little Eva. And obviously a song about turkeys and trotting them, which is appropriate since this is Thanksgiving week. So you see that ingenious. ingenious tie-in going on.
Really put
there.
It together, yeah. Oh, so that wasn't going to make an appearance on Three-Pete later tonight?
No. As a matter of fact, Three-Pete will be on tonight, and it'll be all about thanks, but it may not be about giving.
Oh.
There's a tease.
All right. You know, and it won't be your, like, stereotypical one like that, you know, which is
too obvious.
Overplayed, overdone, easy, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
I've got all kinds of those lined up tonight. Oh, boy. So, anybody have any exciting or not exciting Thanksgiving plans?
I'll be here at 6 in the morning doing sports with Dave Flyer.
There we go.
And then I'm going home, taking a nap, eating a bunch of food, and then I'm watching Northwestern Oklahoma State at night. It's a big day.
There we go. That's it. See? Jack,
he's
doing it.
My mom put the axe on me and my brother going to the UC, so we're staying at the house.
I got you.
Yeah.
She said no.
I'm like, are we going? And my brother's
family
like,
time.
No, you're staying.
Wait
like,
a minute. Right. Now listen, Jackie. I'll let this go only so far. It's Thanksgiving,
right?
And you've already been at the work and home, and it's time for family.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah.
She's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, spend some time with the fam.
Yeah.
Especially because you don't live there anymore.
Right.
It's not the same.
Don't guilt trip him. I mean,
he's already going to be there. Yeah. I can't do anything
now
more.
Now they just have to deal with my loud commentary during the game.
Yeah.
Oh, do you do that?
Oh, yeah. I do it here. Krista thinks I'm yelling at her sometimes, and I'm not.
You mean, like, if things go wrong?
Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? And then she's like, whoa. I'm like, I'm not talking to you. Sorry, I'm talking to TV.
Yeah.
You should see a Bears game day.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
It's just that times 10. Everybody's yelling.
Everybody's yelling.
Well, I mean, it's a sort of a prerequisite to be at the station on a Bears game day with Hampton OB around.
We learn from the best.
Yeah.
You do.
Yelling is where it's at.
It's encouraged.
As far as those guys are concerned, you know? But, I mean, do you, when you do your Thanksgiving thing, I was thinking about the... You know, there's a stereotypical package of food that is, I think, almost as, correct me if I'm wrong, traditional as turkey when it comes to this particular dinner, right? Like green bean casserole. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You don't?
No.
You don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
No, we do. Are you talking about, like, there's always stuffing, there's cranberries.
Yeah, but there's this green bean casserole that used to have.
You're talking about that specific
yes.
item. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
My mom got tasked with that 1 year to make it, and she made it from some sort of can.
Right.
Like there's like that
there
onion that comes from the can.
That's what my mom used. Now, how did that worm its way into a typical American Thanksgiving dinner?
It's a good question.
Green bean casserole. I mean, when our forefathers landed on Plymouth Rock, there wasn't like, hey.
Those canned, crusted onion things.
I'm sorry,
things.
We won't have any, we don't take any canned onion rings. We've got to have like, you know, farm to table. So,
yeah, interesting. Some of these items, you're like, well, what the heck?
How did that get there?
How did that get there?
And that's like almost a universal thing.
Yeah, that's at every table for sure. Is that mine?
Why? What's it yours?
No, it is at mine. Like the green bean, that's what I'm saying. Okay. It is at mine.
Okay, now how about cranberry sauce?
Definitely.
Okay, where'd that come from?
Also the can for my family, but not from, you know, the pilgrims. They didn't take it from a can.
Time for a history lesson.
Yeah,
well, no, but my mom used to, not the can. I mean, I've had the can, and it's like a gelatin blob sort of like, wiggling there with can impressions on the top of it.
that adds to the charm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Grinding it up and doing it au naturel, so to speak. That's where that was at. That's how I roll. That's how I came up in the cranberry world, so to speak. You know what I mean? But I don't know how it got in there. The same way I don't understand how green bean casserole.
It's a good question.
Became hand in hand. With turkey, I mean, there must be an answer. Not that we have to have one, but it was just an observation because I'll bet that there's a ton of people who are going to have green bean casserole.
Probably. Not
and
me, but yeah.
You're not, right? Why?
I don't want to eat it.
You're not physically going to eat it. It'll probably be at
Jack
your dinner
do vegetables.
Table.
Yeah, no. What am I, a rabbit?
You're trying to save all meat.
Yeah. Okay. And the mashed potatoes.
I am a big stuffing person. I will literally just eat a plate of stuffing.
Yeah, you see that?
And nothing else.
That's not my jam. I'm not a stuffing.
So good.
That's not my jam.
It's so good.
Never been.
Oh, so good.
Although I do like the mashed potatoes, and I do like the gravy because you can make a little lake in the middle of the breast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you
right,
can.
Right?
Yeah,
you make a little lake. You make a little gravy lake in the middle of the mashed potatoes, and then you poke the sides.
There you go. Then boom.
Have you ever seen the picture? It's like a Photoshopped photo, and it is a pile of mashed potatoes with gravy, and it's a little old lady on a kayak, and it's like she's like going down the trail of gravy.
No,
people post it all the time on Facebook, and it'd be like
that.
Me on Thanksgiving. It's really funny.
It's the group chat tonight, which will continue momentarily, but right now, if you look at the clock, it's the bottom of the hour and time to get into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN. John Landecker, group chat night. I'm here. Ashley's here. Eli's here. Jack's here. What am I doing playing these segments of these two Beatle tunes? Well, I'll tell you. Oh, and it's not because Paul McCartney's at the doing his second concert tonight, right? He is, isn't he?
Correct.
So.
Yeah.
Bob's there. Haley's there. Mary's there.
No.
Our invite got lost in the mail, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you know the ticket prices for that thing?
I saw them.
I think Bob finessed some free tickets somehow. I don't know how.
Johnny, well, we got to find out.
I think he made that happen.
Wow. Because I see ticket prices like $1,921 for one seat.
And the UC's big, too.
Yeah, like way at the back, way at the top, way back.
We could just sit in our Hawks radio booth for free.
500.
Oh, Jack, you got the connections. Can you get us in?
I don't know if you can do that.
Could you get in there?
I don't think so. I don't think I could flash my pass for Hawks.
Just do it really fast. Be like,
I don't know.
Maybe they'll forget there's not a game.
I am friendly with the security people.
Yeah, I left my coat upstairs. Do you mind?
But the equipment's always there, right?
It's locked up in like a
box. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, it's $582 for a seat for at the very tip-top rim.
What's standing room? I thought I saw like $200 for standing room yesterday.
I didn't see the
standing
room.
Where would you
room?
Stand?
Behind the 300 level.
Oh, my.
So you could watch them on the screen, I guess.
Okay, now wait a minute. First of all, let me tell you why I played those songs. It's not because of McCartney being here. There was an article today in Forbes magazine, of all places, okay, that the two songs I played you, In My Life and I Want to Hold Your Hand, are having a surprise, quote-unquote, surprise surge in interest on certain music charts. Like they're coming back. These are songs from the 60s. So, In My Life, from the album Rubber Soul, re-entered the official singles download charts at number 72 and single sales chart at number 80. I Want to Hold Your Hand, released as a single in 1963 before becoming included in the 1964 album Meet the Beatles, came in at number 54. I don't know. They just said, quote-unquote, a surprise surge, but they give absolutely no reason why.
I bet the kids are finally realizing that the music today really sucks. I mean,
that was great.
It does. It's horrible. And remember, there was the trend going around where the guy was drinking the cranberry juice on the skateboard listening to Dreams by Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah,
kids went nuts for that one. I'm like, where have you been?
Okay, then
this music exists. You just have to explore.
Let me back up and say that years ago, McCartney was touring and came to Chicago and came to the United Center. And this has never happened before. I got a call from a friend of mine who was a concert promoter and said, trust me, you have to go to this concert. And the tickets were at that time $300, which now sounds like on the floor, which sounds like now a steal. You can't even get in the building. They won't even let you into the restroom for $300 at the McCartney. And he was spectacular. But not only was he great, the band that he had with him, right? I mean, they got to recreate this whole they were just amazing. It was just the most amazing. It was just amazing. But that's a few years ago, and I heard somebody on Lisa's show say that he thinks McCartney's lost his voice. And
well, I mean,
he's 83 years old.
Well, someone on the text line said they paid $300 for Tier 3 yesterday, and it was a life-changing event.
Indeed. I mean, anybody,
so maybe he still got it.
Oh, I think he does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw some footage on, I might have been on TikTok, I was scrolling through, and the crowd was just...
Oh, they're insane.
Nuts. He looked like he was having a blast. I think, you know, when you really care about your craft, it changes what you're doing.
I saw a great interview with a great interview clip recently with him and Stephen Colbert, I believe, where Colbert asked him, you know, what's it like being Paul McCartney and handling all this fame? And he goes, well, there's like, I'm paraphrasing now, there's like two Paul McCartney. There's Paul McCartney, who's really kind of famous. Everybody went, yeah, I guess so. And then there's the other McCartney who's just lying on the couch watching TV. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
I get that. It's not like he walks around 24/7 going, hey, you know what, I'm Paul McCartney. But there's, you know, obviously people are going to be.
I would if I was him.
Yeah.
But I thought that was pretty revealing, you know. I mean, I've never met him or anything like that, but I think Bob Surratt did, but I'm not sure.
He's friends with someone that was working on that, Peter, oh, I'll come up.
Somebody that was working on what?
On one of their very first albums ever, like when Paul was dating this guy's sister.
Peter Asher.
Yes.
Oh, I know Peter Asher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe just through.
He was also in a group called Peter and Gordon. Yeah, he's been.
Oh, yeah, yes.
He's been around. He was over in Michigan, Three Oaks, Michigan. He's done some stuff. And yeah, Jane Asher was his. There's a bunch of great stories. Jane Asher was his sister. She was also, I believe, a model. And McCartney was dating her, and McCartney was living at their house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's a story of Lennon, I believe, and McCartney down in the basement on a piano, writing all these what were to become classic songs.
I think they wrote Hey Jude in his house or something.
No, that's
wasn't
later.
That one?
That's way later.
Way later. So, it was one of those, though. It was
no,
like,
but Hey Jude is way later. Hey Jude, first of all, hey kids, hey trust me on this. Hey Jude is way later. John Lennon has to get married. He has to have a kid. And then Paul McCartney's got to write the song for him, which is Hey Jude. Anyway, I get off. I am now off on a Beatle tangent. But I can't even remember what I was going on this. So he's back. He's back on this interview with, this will be the last thing. He's back on the interview with Stephen Colbert. And Colbert says to McCartney, so what was the motivation behind all those really great early songs? And McCartney goes, I got to make some money.
Right.
That's
him.
Yeah,
he.
That's my job. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a lot of things coming together in a very nice way tonight. It's the group chat, but it's also... Our last show before Thanksgiving, Dee Dee Sharp singing her fantastic hit called Mashed Potatoes here at 720 WGN. Using it, of course, because Thanksgiving's coming up and people are going to be probably having some mashed potatoes. It's, that took a lot of mental effort to put that together, so don't take it lightly. It's a group chat with John Landecker, and Ashley's here, and Jack and Eli, and by the way, coming up before the bottom of the hour, we'll have the big follow-up hit from Dee Dee Sharp.
Oh, no.
Who had that hit called Mashed Potatoes. And, you know, there was a thing like, hey, we had a hit with a song. Let's do basically the same song again, only give it a different title. And... that'll be coming up.
Wait, I might. Can I? Can that? I guess?
Sure, go ahead.
That sounded like Mr. Postman. Was that not?
No.
The same.
You're
woman?
Overthinking it.
No.
You're overthinking it.
Am I? No. Okay. That's what I thought it was at first, and I was like, how does this tie in?
Well, you're not off. I mean, that's, you know, for someone who wasn't around then, yeah. It's the, wait, Mr. Postman, and I never really thought about it, but now that you bring it up, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But no.
Okay, that was my guess.
It's got nothing to do with Please, Mr. Postman. D.D. Sharp mashed potatoes. It's only mashed potatoes. Besides the follow-up. Oh, never mind. I'm giving too much space to what's coming up. But I want to back up a minute. So we got into this thing last hour. How did green bean casserole become part of Americana, where you have your Thanksgiving dinner and you have your turkey and you have your sides and you've got your mashed potatoes and who knows what else you have? And green bean casserole is just a weird thing. It just seems, I mean, I've been eating it all my life and it just occurred to me, like, how'd that get there? Why? Well, so glad you asked, John. It was the 1950s, okay, and we can thank Campbell's Soup Company. 1955, and a Campbell's Soup Company employee, Doris Riley, was working in the company's home economics department, later named Test Kitchen, when she invented the recipe for green bean casserole. And the original recipe called for canned or fresh green beans, Campbell's cream of mushroom soup, soy sauce, black pepper, milk, and French fried onions, the same ingredients it is to this day.
Soy sauce?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Ugh.
They mix it in. I mean,
no,
it's
that, I, yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah. It's not like, hey, wait a minute, this casserole just took on an Asian overtone.
Well, it's just like, who looked at a can of green beans and said, you know what this
needs? Well, this is the thing, though. Apparently, everybody went crazy in the 1950s for these canned Campbell's goods.
Well, and I mean, that makes sense.
And it stuck around. I mean, I remember eating that. My parents getting that kind of Campbell's cream of mushroom soup, Campbell's tomato soup. So, you know.
I'm a diehard Campbell's chicken noodle soup, but not the, there's the chicken noodle soup, and then there's also, it's like the classic. There's another version of it with the thinner noodles. I hate that one. I don't want that one.
I have
to have the other one.
It's been a long time since I've had any Campbell's soup, I'll tell you that. And
really?
I won't tell, yeah.
I mean, I have it in the, I have a decent amount of it in my apartment.
Really?
Yeah.
Just a stash?
You never know.
Right in the pantry, whatever they call it.
And then you load it up with saltines, and then boom.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever taken a look at the sodium level in that?
I don't want to know.
Oh, man.
I don't want to know. Wait, I got to figure it out. Yeah, there's the chicken noodle, and then there's like another one. Home style, that's what it is. Can't have that one.
Oh, yes, home style.
You don't want that one. That one's not the good one.
That means the stuff in it is like bigger.
Yeah, I don't need that. I want all the broth.
Like, you know, the chicken's got a little chunk.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
As opposed to just being broth-like.
Wait, we got to back it up a little bit. I think I sent you a story today. Campbell's stock just crashed because they're...
Oh, my God. You know, you did, and I didn't go into this. Go ahead, because it is so... I thought it was a put-on at first.
Yeah, I got to pull it up. Hold on. So...
Because it's too strange.
It is so strange. It's like their stock crashed... Because their CEO...
I would say allegedly around here.
Yeah. Well, their stock did crash.
Yes, it did.
The stock did crash over, allegedly, the CEO saying that they had 3D printed meat in the cans. In the chicken noodle soup that I thoroughly...
3D printed meat.
Yeah.
So that's not real.
No.
It crashed over more than 3% on Monday, November 24th, after the former employee alleged in a lawsuit that the vice president and chief of information security officer, Martin Bailey, was mocking poor people, quote unquote, ridiculing the company's product and making the racist comments about colleagues. This is a true story. The stock market,
the stock crashed. This story, whether or not the credibility of it is... To what degree is it's credible? Made the enough made the rounds on social media to cause a reaction on the stock market.
According to the employee, said that this, who was he again? He was the...
You mean to tell me it wasn't good?
The vice president, this vice president allegedly said in a secret recording at a company meeting that they were using 3D printed meat.
Okay, now hold on a second.
And that is a federal crime and is illegal under U.S. federal law to sell.
What is it?
Right.
I mean, is it meat?
I mean, it is kind of chewy.
No, wait, oh my God.
But I'd have never eaten a 3D printed item. I don't know if those are chewy.
Well, hold on. I understand people, I understand you could like 3D print a camera or, you know, some physical item, but I didn't know you could 3D print food.
It said that the executive's comments on the bioengineered meat that came from a 3D printer have also sparked a lot of controversy among environmentally conscious investors.
Well, if it's 3D printed, like, do we know exactly what the original material is?
From the 50s? Or what do you mean, from the 3D printer?
God, this because, is so like, bizarre.
Like, so anything could be 3D printed if you put it through, like, a 3D printer machine. Like, if I filled it with chocolate, I could probably print with chocolate, right?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't even know how a 3D printer works.
I've definitely seen a video of somebody, like, covering a piece of bread with 3D printed Nutella to make it, like, the perfect shape of bread. Just because they could, and because they had access to a 3D printer. So I don't know if they're going this in deep with it, if the stock's crashing like that, but...
Wow.
I guess I didn't realize a 3D printer could use different items to print.
Really good. Well, maybe it doesn't, and they're just breaking it, but...
Does it come with glasses? Does it come with 3D glasses so you can look at the meat?
To see the meat in 3D?
It's a good question.
No, I mean, 3D... Come on. And supposedly there's a recording of this. Is that true?
Yeah, that's an employee that was a former employee is the one who's is in this lawsuit suing Campbell's chicken noodle. Well, Campbell's soup.
Do we have the recording?
The recording's not in this article that I'm looking at here.
And who made the recording and where and how?
Right, exactly. It sounds like, let's see here.
Wow.
So Robert Garza, former cybersecurity analyst, says he started recording what was to be a routine salary meeting with Bally in late 2024 after sensing something wasn't right, quote unquote. So this Robert Garza recorded a routine salary meeting. According to the lawsuit filed in the Wayne County Circuit Court, the vice president started mocking the customers, claiming the company made products for poor people and questioning who would buy them all. I buy them all the time. But now I want to know it doesn't really fixate much more on the 3D printed part of this. It's more that...
He just said that.
So I don't know if the employee himself, the former employee, is the one stating that, but it sounds like this president said on the secret recording that the company is using 3D printed meat. But I don't see that quote here.
I'm sticking
It's just
with
talking about the poor people.
I'm sticking with 1D printed meat.
Amen.
That's as far as I go.
If it ain't broke.
Don't fix it.
Exactly.
You better believe it. 18 minutes after 8, we'll be back with more. Oh, and the big follow-up to mashed potatoes right after this at 720 WGN. The big follow-up to mashed potatoes called Gravy by D.D. Sharp. There you go.
Was she in a pinch? Did she need money?
Well, that's what I was saying, is like there was a time when if you had a hit record, for some people, if you had a hit record, then that formula, you thought, well, let's just use that again. Like, well, now that we're off on that tangent, there was a band called The Reflections, and they had a big hit called Just Like Romeo and Juliet. And then they did a song about Columbus discovering America, and I swear to you, it is It is exactly pretty much the same music, note for note, only the lyric had been changed. And that was the end of D.D. Sharp's career, as far as I know, and that Columbus, just like Columbus did, that was the name of it, that was the end of the short-lived Reflections career. This is a group chat with John Landecker at 720 WGN, Ashley, Jack, Eli, and absolutely no direction.
Wait, I actually have to chime in here on the music situation. So have you noticed that a lot of these groups, musicians, will do Christmas songs, but will take their popular song and make it into a Christmas song?
I have not.
That sounds terrible.
Oh, my gosh. So I was just trying to look to see, because I know there's one, I'm almost certain, 8675309.
Oh, by Two-Tone?
They took that song and they made it into a Christmas song.
What?
By changing some of the words so that it's somewhat Christmassy.
Now, wait a minute. How could that...
I'm trying to Google it to see what the lyrics
that song's
would be.
A banger.
I do. It says Christmas version. Jenny Christmas version. Now...
Oh, hold on. I'm
Santa Jenny. Maybe that's what they're saying instead of saying Jenny Jenny.
Santa Jenny.
I'm not positive, but...
John will find it.
It's on YouTube under their...
Don't, John, don't worry. Don't... Jenny Christmas.
Do you see that?
Hold on. I can't believe that...
They swear in this?
No.
No.
If it's the same song, and they just change some words to make it Christmassy.
No, that's 8675309 Jenny.
Christmas version. Do you see that?
Not yet, but, you know, we don't care how things go on this show right now anyway. So, Jenny Christmas, 86... We should need a title.
Well, I was trying to look up the lyrics while you were talking about the songs. You know, if it was a hit, try it again.
Oh, wait,
and,
hold it.
Oh.
Oh, wait, hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it. Oh, come on. You know, I could live without ever hearing it again, quite frankly. That has got to be the... Well, it's not like I had a big... was a big Tommy Two-Tone fan or anything, but I thought 8675309 Jenny was cool. That has destroyed any kind of credibility that Tommy Two-Tone has ever had in my musical catalog. That is disgusting.
I don't think it worked because you didn't know it and you're big in the music industry, so.
Well, now wait. That was a long time ago.
When did that come out?
I loved it. I think that's going to make my Spotify wrap before next week.
You got to add it.
Eli's bumping that on the way
home. You know,
I don't even celebrate Christmas. I loved it.
I mean, there is a certain sort of campiness to it. I mean, oh, brother.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of liked it the second time.
It gets better.
Yeah. I might have to listen to that on the way home.
Yeah, that's later on, you know, sometime before the end of the year, when we get into the Christmas season, we're doing a 9 o'clock three-peat. That song's coming on.
I have some wild Christmas songs that you need to hear that you've never heard in your life.
Okay.
That I need to share.
All right.
I actually, there's somebody here that works here. He's in our sales department. His name is Steve. He loves Christmas, diehard Christmas fan. He has like a... Oh, my God. It might be a 36-hour playlist of all just obscure Christmas holiday music that you've never heard in your entire life. Some of them are funny. Some of them are just really bad. Some of them are from, Tommy Two-Tone. They did a whole Christmas album. And then,
Santa's got a brand new bag?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know it. But
I know some of those, yeah.
He knows them all. And he knows them well. And, the reason I know some of them is because there was a short period of time where they tried to do a podcast featuring these songs.
Oh.
Yeah.
What, they couldn't get the rights or something?
Yeah, it was a lot of just trying to wrestle with that and Spotify.
That sounds like a great idea for a podcast.
Oh, yeah. And I've learned a lot of them, and that was one of them, and I've heard some really good ones. There's some really, really good
obscure ones.
Oh, yeah. And I could share them with you.
Were these like... did they sound like they were recorded a long time ago? Like they were of a, I don't know, what's the term I'm looking for? Sounded like an oldie, so to speak?
Like Bing Crosby, but
well, not that old, but I mean like maybe a R&B group or...
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some new ones. There's some old ones. There's ones that you probably have heard in your lifetime that you didn't realize you knew or who sang them.
Well, there was one about Santa Don't Go to the Ghetto.
Yeah,
but that, right?
Isn't that
James Brown?
Oh yes. Yeah, that's one.
I think.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Which is
that's a great song. It is.
Well, yes, yeah, I guess it? So.
It's a great
actually,
song.
Santa
I
should go.
I never heard
go,
it.
But quite frankly, Santa should go.
Yes,
really
of course.
It. I mean,
of
come
course.
On.
That's the moral
I mean,
of the song.
Please.
But the song is really good.
I don't know. Is that the moral of the song? I've never listened to the whole song.
Yeah, I think it's telling Santa, come to the ghetto. Give the okay. kids in the ghetto right. some presents.
Okay.
That's literally what the song is, I'm pretty sure.
What a turn.
It's a good song.
Well, it's the bottom of the hour and time to get into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on 720 WGN. A last John Landecker program before Thanksgiving, and it is a group chat night, which means we don't care. No, we do, just there's no,
we
no
don't
planning.
Care.
We care. We care. Just no
we don't
planning.
Care.
No, there's Ashley and Jack and Eli. Just think about we are family. You know, a lot of people, families get together this time of year, whether it's for this particular holiday or the other ones that are coming up. And I have to say that when I was growing up, I don't know if my family just hit it or maybe we were just lucky, but I didn't realize there were so many issues in families. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I have a theory now that family gatherings for holidays are good for about a day and a half. And then after that, things start to become brittle, so to speak. Like if there's a, I don't know, a long-standing issue of some kind that has to do with somebody's personality or something, you know, somebody will have one too many drinks or something, and but it's you got a reprieve for about 24, 36 hours. That's my theory. And then things start to go sideways. I'm maybe not and hopefully no, but I'm just saying, and I'm talking about my experience, so maybe I just shouldn't put that on other people, but that's the way it sort of developed over the years as you become an adult. Sucks.
I did that all this past weekend. I got all the craziness out of the way. I just traveled home, visited my parents this past weekend. So,
see, he said I got all the craziness
smart,
out of the way.
Smart,
do you have a
kid.
Sibling?
I have a younger brother.
Yeah.
So he's got a shoulder all the weight at home. He's home from college right now.
Yeah.
We have younger cousins visiting, and it's my mom's birthday and her twin brother tomorrow. So first of all, happy birthday, Mom. Love you.
There you go.
Glad I'm here. Thank you. See you later.
Well, so they're going to have to deal with all the craziness. So I wasn't able to stop by. It was a surprise trip. They didn't know I was coming.
Nice.
Said hi, said bye. Happy Thanksgiving, and I'll see you in a couple weeks.
There you go.
Well played.
And yes, indeed, handled perfect. Your mother has a twin brother.
Yes, yes.
Wow, cool. Do they walk alike, talk alike?
I mean, I've never been able to hear the end of one of their sentences without the other one chiming in.
No,
they have
kidding.
That twin telepathy, and it gets
wow.
to a point where it gets a little annoying, but then it gets impressive again.
That's
it
pretty
circles
cool.
back around.
That's very cool. I think
yeah. twins
really,
are pretty
I
cool.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obviously organic, so I mean, it's not something they're trying to develop. It comes,
oh yeah,
comes
yeah,
with
yeah.
their twinness, so to speak. Neat.
You were talking to a twin yesterday.
I was.
Yeah.
Oh, chuckles.
Yeah, Charlie's a triplet.
No.
Yeah.
Way. Charlie's a triplet,
and
yeah.
him and the brother.
He's
look
a hat trick.
Very identical.
He is a hat trick.
He's a hat trick.
And then there's
for
the
crying
sister.
Out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
His brother, they look alike, and his brother puts his hair one way, and Charlie puts it the other way.
That's how you can tell
I saw
who's
him.
Who?
I saw him once, and I was like, whoa, this is
wow.
trippy.
They
no,
look
I...
very similar. They yeah. do look different, but they really do. They look like brothers, yeah. which makes
I,
sense.
I had no idea. Well, so how would you know? I wouldn't. I mean, hey, you got any siblings? Well, I'm a triplet.
He says it pretty fast, actually. He's pretty open about it.
Well, there's no reason. There's no reason.
I
you
keep
gotta
that private.
There's no reason you got to hide it. Or
no
anything.
One can know.
Well, I don't know.
I was waiting for this text, John. I like and enjoy your show, but I especially like your group chat mates with Ashley. Every time
the star.
It's an
hold on.
An extra,
you got to read the other. Hold on. Finish reading that one, and we got to pull up the other one.
Okay. John, I like and enjoy your show, but I especially like your group chat mates with Ashley. It adds an extra dimension, and I hope it's very popular with the listeners. And?
Do you want me to read the other text?
Okay.
Well, we got one from Shirley earlier. It says, I love Jack's voice, too, and I just looked him up, and he's cute, too. You got to
oh,
give Jack
one.
A
yes,
shout
I
out.
I saw that. Yeah.
Come on now.
Come on now. Come on.
Thank you, Shirley.
He's a rugged kind of male individual.
He's available.
And you,
Don't say that.
We got, of all the, I'm the only unavailable person on the air right now.
Do we,
everybody else
Eli,
I work with,
are you available? Do, have we ever discussed
here
that?
We go.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
You know, here we go.
I was talking, who was I talking to? I don't know. I was talking to somebody, and I said, I have to tell you something. Everybody I work with is at least 50 years younger than I am. I said, and I'm not kidding. I could be their, like, grandfather.
I mean, it doesn't feel that way, though.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
No, it sure does. I mean, I can imagine situations where people were that large of a age difference, and it would feel that way. But we're not that way.
No, not at all.
We're not that way. And maybe I shouldn't have said that anyway, but
No. I would call you just on a random Tuesday, even if we didn't have a show, and tell you something.
Right, yeah. And that doesn't take away anything from Jack's good looks.
Oh, wait, look at this. Jack is a hottie chops. We want
hottie
Jack.
Chops. He's a hottie chops?
Man, thanks for opening the door.
Kidding. We want Jack. Jack is a hottie chop. I've never heard that one. That's Allison from 630. Jack is a hottie chop. Chops, plural. 469. We want Jack. Man.
You guys just opened the door.
Look out. We've created a whole sensation
here. Time to
take
a picture of Eli and post it.
Yeah, Eli's next.
Oh, man. So what's going on with you, Ash? Any men in suits come by recently? Or?
Okay, wait. I actually have to share some lore. Because we're talking about being single, so it kind of fits. So, have you ever heard? I know you're not on a dating app. You're happily married.
Not under my real name, of course.
Oh boy,
nice.
No. Okay, so there's a new dating app called Sitch. Has anyone heard of that? Anybody?
S-I-T-C-H?
Yeah, like what's the situation? It's kind of
your sitch?
Sitch.
Got it, right.
Okay, so apparently this app is really big in L.A. and New York. Like it started in L.A., moved to New York. Mm-hmm. And one of my good friends who is single, she saw that this dating app, Sitch, was coming to Chicago. They were launching it in Chicago. So she texted me. She said, create an account. We're going to go to this launch party.
Uh-oh.
So we can meet some singles. It was like an open bar. It was in the city.
An
be a part
bar.
Of this.
Two important words. Open bar. I'm down.
It was a Thursday night. I was exhausted. I wanted to go to bed.
Hey, wait a minute. I thought Thursday night it was the big night. Isn't Thursday night
it's
still
huge.
A big night?
But it's a school night. I have work tomorrow.
School night.
I got to go to bed.
Okay.
But anyway, I go to this dating event thing. You have to make an account to attend. You go. Ever since then, one photo was taken at this dating event, and we had to sign waivers that you could take pictures or whatever. I am unofficially the face of this dating app on ads all over TikTok and Instagram, and I've been texted
there.
At least.
Wait a minute. Hold
I've
on
been texted
a second.
At least 20 times about. Here, I'll send it to you. Hold on.
Oh, wait a minute. Stitch.
Sitch.
Sitch.
But it haunts me because the photo of me is actually pretty awful. I hate the photo, and it's the front thing on this dating app. So it's like, see hot singles in your town, and it's me. It's a brutal picture.
What makes this dating app different from others?
So this dating app in particular, AI matches you with somebody.
Oh, love
so
that.
You fill
that
out a bunch
terrible.
Of information, and then the AI robot is supposed to say, this is going to be your match.
You know, there's a limited series running on one of the streaming services that my wife and I are watching. I believe it's called Soulmates or something along that line.
Is it an AI thing?
No, it's a sort of a sci-fi thing in that a virus has come to the United States, not the United States, the world, and has made everybody really happy. And they're all connected. It's like one mind, except for this two or three people who are like, what the hell's going on? You know what I mean? But they match you with your quote unquote soulmate. You enter this, I mean, not an app, but you fill out a form or whatever you do and you put it in there and you could get like, oh, look, my soulmate's in São Paulo, Brazil. It's I don't know.
So this is real, though.
No.
Oh, no, it's just a show.
No.
Okay,
it's not real.
We had that in school.
I'm like,
what?
No.
We had something like that at Northwestern.
You like filled out a questionnaire and then they paired you with one of your classmates?
They called it the marriage pact. And they both times it was just like somebody, like both times I filled it out, I got matched with somebody that I was just like friends with.
Did it make sense though? Were you like, yeah, that makes sense?
I mean, it was pretty much just somebody that had like the same major interests as me. Like
So it made sense.
The more they did it, I'm sure the more they developed it. It's Northwestern students. They're smart. They can figure it out.
Yeah. Let's get back to this Sitch thing.
But yeah, yeah.
So what's the big deal with this particular dating app?
I don't know. I mean,
Ashley's the face of it.
I'm the face of it now, which is unfortunate. My friends are like, whoa, look at you. And I'm like, this is horrible. I voluntarily went. I wasn't dragged there, but.
And how many dating apps are there?
There's a bunch. Oh, my goodness. Are there a bunch? There's Sitch. There's Tinder. There's Hinge. There's Bumble. There's Grindr. Grindr's for the LGBT.
That's my kind of dating app.
I don't think it is.
Huh?
No, I don't think it is, Jen.
Oh, is that the gay one?
Yeah.
I've heard of it.
Right. But there's a bunch. It's tough.
That was Grindr. Tinder, however.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the loose moral one?
Yeah.
Aren't they all?
It is, isn't it?
Aren't they all?
It is.
They are, I will say. That one's not.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm told Hinge is the more serious one.
Really?
I'm told that. I mean, my cousin is dating somebody from Hinge. My brother was dating somebody from Hinge for
really?
A long time.
What? Well, how long has Hinge been around?
I don't know. I don't actually know the answer to that. Tinder's been around longer.
Yeah, I know.
There was another one called Meet Me for a while, and I kind of liked that one. I did that one in college because you had to answer questions. Like, you had to answer 20 questions, kind of like probably what the Northwestern thing was, and they tried to pair you based on your answers.
Does any of this ever work?
No!
It's
I'm sitting here, I'm single. None of it works. You got to meet somebody like at the grocery store.
All three of you guys are like available.
Well, I don't think these two muscle through these dating apps. I definitely have. Yeah, the two of them.
Not really.
Never been on one.
No.
Oh, okay.
I've suffered through them.
720 WGN coming back. Thank you. There's Eli stepping in. But wait a minute. Okay, never mind. 850 here at 720 WGN. We're good, right? Are we all good then? Okay.
I think so. Uh-huh. Oh, about the live read?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
What did you find it?
Well, I've got one for 9:17.
I think I goofed.
That's exactly the same thing.
But you read? Oh,
I read one for small business. No, local business.
Yeah, you did, Marquette.
Yeah.
We're good for the rest of the night.
So that's
there's nothing at 9:17.
That might be from another date. Look at the date.
Yeah, what does the date say on the top? Did I goof?
11/24/25.
I goofed.
24 is yesterday.
Yeah, today's the 25th.
Sorry. But we love the Anderson.
we do.
Oh, boy, I'm telling
you. And look at Eli for his live read down. Hey. Welcome to the squad.
Eli. That's what we're getting there.
Yeah. Hold on. Big shout out. Eli has his first sportscast coming up December. You
know, December 6th.
Yeah. You might say he broke his maraschino cherry.
Yeah.
Woo! Well, it is a candy thing, of course.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. I love a maraschino cherry.
Oh, God, so do I.
They're so good.
Oh, I don't even need anything with them.
When I go to the bar, I order a kitty cocktail. Not a Dirty Shirley, just a kitty cocktail because they give you... I mean, you get them with the alcohol one, too.
What is a Dirty Shirley?
It's just the grenadine Sprite and then a maraschino cherry.
Okay.
Whereas, like, a Dirty Shirley has vodka in it. I don't need that.
Oh,
I want the sugar and I want the cherry.
Oh, I know what a kitty cocktail is.
That's what I want at the bar. Right, okay. That's what I'm holding at a bar.
Gotcha. Okay.
For the cherry, in particular.
By the way, coming up after 9 o'clock, since this is the only 3-hour John Landecker program this week, in fact, this is the last John Landecker program this week, we're going to do our 9 o'clock three-peat at 9 o'clock. And I'll explain that later when we get there. And also got a Sunshine Lollipop and Rainbow newscast coming up after 9:30. With a very appropriate Thanksgiving Day story. Let's just put it that way.
Theme?
Yeah. Well, just a small one at the very beginning. That's all. Just a small one. Hey, you know what? Somebody texted and said, asked if we were doing football picks tonight. And no, we're not, obviously. Everything's sort of, people are going different places. People are doing different things. But, you know, sometimes I'm the last to know. The Bears game is 2 o'clock Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Amazon Prime.
On Amazon Prime.
Well, I think Fox is picking it up locally, but yeah.
So Fox is picking up an Amazon?
Just in Chicago.
Just in Chicago, yeah.
Interesting.
Because whatever the local affiliate for the team is normally picks up those
I didn't realize Thanksgiving. I mean, you've got your, what? You've got your
Packers
Dallas,
and Lions.
Dallas and Chiefs. Kansas, yep.
Ravens-Bengals.
Man, that's a good lineup.
And you got that the dog good. Show.
The what?
Oh, yes, the dog show. I love the dog show.
Right?
No, indeed. Absolutely.
What an incredible
no,
thing.
No, I really do like the dog show. I'm not being sarcastic or no, anything like awesome. That at all. Did you ever see the movie Best in Show?
You know what? I haven't. I've been told hundreds of times that it's a great movie and I need to watch it.
Jack, never have you ever seen the movie Best in Show?
Mm-mm.
Okay, then.
Eli?
Over three.
Oh, I'm shocked, actually.
Oh, when we get done with the holiday, remind me because it's...
It's a good one. Who's the guy with the brows, the eyebrows? Who's that guy?
Eugene Levy.
Yeah, he's in it.
Christopher Guest.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I've heard it's great.
No, it is.
But I like the actual dog show.
No, I like the actual dog show, too.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much fun TV watching.
Great day to sit on your couch and eat a ton of food.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I have a question, and I wonder mm-hmm. if it's just my family or if other families also do this. Does anyone mm-hmm. else watch Happy Gilmore on Thanksgiving, or is it just my family?
No.
We have
Happy
it on every
Gilmore.
Single Thanksgiving.
I've seen Happy Gilmore, but it doesn't register as a Thanksgiving
It's definitely yet. Not. That's why I don't understand why we always put it on. It's always
Sounds
on.
Sounds fun, though.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Does added to the rotation now?
Yeah.
You movie marathon back-to-back double feature?
Yeah, just... Oh, yeah, I haven't seen the second one. I guess I just...
I love the second one.
Do you?
I think it's really funny. It's not. You're not going to see a cinematic masterpiece.
It's on no, Netflix, right?
It's on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah.
That's with all
yeah,
the golfers
yeah.
in it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My boy Bryson is in it. I got to watch that show.
Oh, look at you now.
Some eye candy. Yeah. Well, for me, it's my eye candy. For you, it's your sport.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, he is.
Who is this guy?
I'll admit it.
Who?
He's a golfer.
Bryson DeChambeau.
What a name.
It's a great name.
What a face.
It sounds like two people.
Yeah. Just wait till you see
Bryson DeChambeau.
Do you know what he looks
get
like?
Over here.
Look what? Him up. He's just like
Jack.
He's just
Bryson DeChambeau.
Does he look better than Jack?
Yes, way better.
You're Jack. You don't get to count. You don't get to say.
I don't see any text saying we want Bryson right now.
That's
a
good
that's
point.
Right.
Good point.
That's it. There you go. I'm so far behind on so many things. I can't believe it. Yeah. So. Where are we? Got about a minute. Okay, so these 9 o'clock three-peat. What is it? It's music, it's fun, it's prizes. Here's what happens. Do I have time to tell you what happens?
You know what I just realized?
We don't have
a pirate.
Oh, wow. You're right.
Who wants
I never
to
got a
do
prize
it?
Sheet.
Who
oh,
wants to do it?
And we got to get a prize sheet. What am I, 57, what, 40? Okay.
Ashley will be the pirate.
Yeah.
See, two votes, three.
Right.
Eli, three.
I'm pretty busy with the phones.
Yeah,
I don't
the Buccaneer, Ashley the pirate.
Let me find a prize sheet. I'm not going to be brutal.
Yeah. All right, though.
Ahoy.
Something to look straight ahead for. Somebody to look ahead straight ahead. Right. I'll coming up. But right now, it's time to get into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720 WGN. Pardoning the turkey is where that leads to. Earlier today, President Trump pardoned two turkeys. He said a bunch of other stuff I'm not going to talk about. The turkeys were Gobble and Waddle. He says, Gobble, you are hereby unconditionally pardoned. Wobble, the official White House turkey, is a 52-pound bird, while Waddle, the designated... A gobble, the official White House turkey, is 52 pounds. While Waddle, the designated alternate, is a slender 50. Both were hatched on July 14th. Waddle visited the White House briefing room before the pardoning event after the two birds had a luxurious hotel room stay.
What?
Yeah. After the ceremony, they are scheduled to go to North Carolina State University, where, according to the National Turkey Federation, they'll spend the rest of their days as ambassadors for the industry. Now, Abraham Lincoln was reportedly the first to spare a turkey at the White House, doing so at his son's request, but the pardon tradition goes back to only 1989, when President George Bush declared the bird he'd been sent had been granted a presidential pardon. Yeah. So here's a heartwarming story. So there's this family in New Jersey. And 10 years ago, their cat ran off, their kitten. And they were, kids were brokenhearted, and what to do, is it ever going to come back? They continually thought about it sporadically, what happened to that great little cat? 10 years. And then somebody who had been taking care of the cat brought it to like a shelter or something, and there was a microchip in it that had, well, here, let me go, 10 years. 10 years.
Well, now, at this point, that cat belongs to that woman.
Oh, now, let's not ruin the heart. Let's not ruin the story.
10 years.
Well, if it...
You're going to steal this cat from its home?
Well, now, wait a minute. You don't... Doesn't the cat have a say in this?
That's what I mean. The cat probably wants to stay with this woman that found her.
Well, there doesn't seem to be any... That doesn't seem to be brought up in this story at all. I mean... The people who had, they had kept their, these people had actually moved from their original
so
house.
So they updated the chip?
Yep.
Information?
Yep. And
holy.
And they really wanted this cat back. 10 years.
10 years. You know, I got a dog with an ex-boyfriend, and the chip is under my name.
Oh,
so I'm hoping
gosh.
The dog runs away one day, and then the dog will come back to me, if I must be honest.
Oh, we lost him.
Oh my god!
Don't get
okay.
a dog or
somebody
a
make a note. Somebody make a note. Next group chat. That's the first topic. Okay. Where am I in this? Oh, we're going to get cultural. Johann Sebastian Bach, very unbelievable composer. Some. Of his compositions were found and performed for the first time in 320 years, a great moment for the world of music, performed for the first time more than 300 years after they were composed. Both were written for the organ, and they are believed to date from the great composer's very early career, where he worked as an organ tutor. Both pieces were unsigned and undated when they were found in the 1900s by Mr. Peter Wolny, a Belgian Bach researcher working at the Royal Library in Brussels. He had a hunch they were for real, and it took him 30 years to figure it out as an archivist, now director of the Bach Archive in Leipzig, and he wanted to be absolutely sure of it, and he was sure of it, and that's what it is. And they performed it for the first time in 300 years, and this is what it sounds like. Okay. Who says this doesn't have... We don't have culture on this show. So I mentioned one man's trash is another man's treasure. A lottery ticket rejected by one customer earned... A Michigan man decided to buy a scratch-off lottery ticket rejected by another customer and ended up winning $1 million. The 32-year-old Wayne County man told Michigan lottery officials... He was at the Fawaz Petroleum LLC on Schoolcraft in Detroit when he spotted the ticket next to the register. Quote, there was a blazing suits ticket. I like that. Set aside on the counter and that someone else had decided not to purchase it, so I purchased it. I scratched the ticket off and I couldn't believe when I saw it as a $1 million winner. The lucky winner said his prize money will go into savings for the time being. Do you like horses? Everybody loves horses. Everybody's a horse fan. We love horses on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. My mom has a horse.
Yeah?
Just yeah. full of facts over
Where
here.
Where does she keep it?
She houses it at a barn over in Wayne, Illinois.
Mark that down as the second topic.
Where is Wayne?
I don't know. I just know it's something like that. Wayne?
Next to Garth? I think it's near Garth.
Party on.
A therapy horse living in Germany has been dubbed the shortest living horse. Guinness, of course. Standing at 21.1 inches tall. Carola Weidman said she adopted Pumpkle, yeah, that's the name of the horse, in 2020 when he was only 5 months old and about 18 inches tall. I drove over, took a look at him, and I was truly completely shocked. I have never seen such a small little horse before. Height verified by Guinness and shortest living male horse in the world. He's about an inch and a half shorter than the previous record holder. He's a trained therapy horse and makes regular visits to nursing homes, hospices, schools and facilities for people with disabilities. His owner says he's a very lovable character. He's incredibly good with children. He loves being scratched and cuddled. Pupkle loves being the center of attention. The second half of the Sunshine, Lollipop, and Rainbow newscast comes up next on 720 WGN. Oh, yes, it's the second half of the Sunshine, Lollipop, and Rainbow newscast. Nothing bad ever happens here. Mm-mm. A school in England is asking for the public's help to find a missing teddy bear that went into the stratosphere with a weather balloon and fell to Earth. The Waltham School and Bradford Bear said Bradford Bear was sent into the sky from Lymington, Hampshire, by 7th and 8th grade students working together with the Southampton University Space Flight Society. A camera on board the balloon recorded Bradford's journey into the upper atmosphere and captured the moment the stuffed toy was jostled free from his perch in the stratosphere above Henley-on-Thames, I love these English words I don't know how to pronounce, on November 10th. Bradford Bear had been expected to parachute to safety along with the rest of the balloon's cargo, but he is now believed to have landed somewhere else. Who knows where else? The school has said on social media, if you have any information regarding his whereabouts, no matter how small, please let us know. Video footage or any details would be hugely appreciated. Ellie Robinson, a science teacher at the school, told the BBC that Bradford Bear did, quote, amazingly by reaching an altitude of about 16.7 miles above the ground. And she said, I'm sure he's fine. And we have reassured the children that he is very brave and resourceful. Good. Okay, here we go. The Vanvera, V-A-N-V-E-R-A, is a bizarre fart-neutralizing accessory used by 17th century aristocracy. The Vanvera was a strange accessory worn primarily by female aristocrats that allowed him discreetly pass gas during social events. The origin and history of the Vanvera are shrouded in mystery. Some sources claim it can be traced back to ancient Egypt, while others say that it was inspired by Roman creativity. But there is no real evidence that this gas-muffling invention has its roots in ancient history.
Gas-muffling.
What everyone seems to agree on is that the Vanvera was used by the aristocracy of the era, as we said, primarily women, so they could conceal it under their large, elaborate dresses. But that's not all. The Vanvera is on display at the Sex Machine Museum in Prague and consists of a leather pouch that connects to the wearer's behind, muffling farts and containing foul-smelling gases during social events.
That leather.
It can be emptied in private by squeezing the pouch.
Emptied.
That leather.
Emptied what?
The entrapped gases. They got to have somewhere to go, right?
But the leather also holds in heat. I don't know about you, but some farts are pretty warm. Like... That's just hot air.
I wouldn't, but it would be, I never really thought about it, but I never got to the point where, you know, like the aristocracy feels that they're passing gas so often that they got to come up with some device to hold under their.
It's a fart bag.
Well, it's a fart bag, yes. It is.
Well, women don't fart. It's just...
That's not true.
It's a fart neutralizer.
Well, I don't know. Some just clench. I don't know. That's a strategy. There's ways to do it where you don't really know.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
This is where we thrive.
This is it.
Just clench. A pair of snowy owls spotted along Lake Michigan Beach has drawn curious crowds. Two owls have, word of the two owls has circulated on birder forums in the nation's third largest city for about a week. Snowy owls aren't rare in Chicago. Their frequency varies widely each winter. This year, two birds have been seen at the beach and pier near Montrose Point Bird Sanctuary on the north side. On Monday, the Chicago Park District announced that Montrose Pier would be closed to protect the owls and asked people to stay at least 300 feet away. On Saturday, well over 100 people came out to a concrete pier that juts out into the lake to catch a glimpse. What do you know? The snowy owl. And here we are at 9:51. And I have completely exhausted, well, I've exhausted all the sunshine, lollipop, and rainbow newscast material that I deemed worthy. There's others, you know, they usually have, I don't want to have everything being about an animal. You know what I mean? It's like,
there's a lot of animals.
There are so many, a loose horse leads New Jersey police on a hoof chase. Firefighters fish a deer out of water retention pond in Virginia. Firefighters rescue an eagle stuck 70 feet up in the air. A red fox with a pipe around its neck was freed in Pennsylvania.
Did you do the one about the eagle dropping something through that guy's car? Did you see that story?
The eagle dropping something on a guy's car.
Yeah, like crash of the windshield. So there was audio from the police.
No.
Oh my gosh! Do you even read my emails?
Yes, of course I do. Religiously, I look every morning. I wake up and it's better than a cup of coffee.
Oh, it was a cat.
Thank you.
A cat got dropped through the guy's windshield.
It wasn't an eagle. It was a cat.
No, an eagle took a cat and dropped it through.
Right. Okay, got it.
Dropped it through a windshield. Wait, you were complimenting my emails, though. Sorry, I missed that. You were saying...
No, I look forward to them every day. I do. They're very entertaining.
I usually add a lot of personality in them, as if I'm talking to you on the phone while I'm typing the email.
And, by the way, we also talk on the phone. So, bald eagle drops cat through driver's windshield in shocking North Carolina car accident. A state trooper said the cat had been seen fighting the bird in midair. Whoa!
So metal.
He says, you may not believe me, says the driver, but I had a bald... He calls the 911 operator. You may not believe me, but I just had a bald eagle drop a cat through my windshield. How did I miss this story?
Yeah, where the heck are you? This is so trooper.
Yeah, it is. A state trooper said the cat had been seen fighting the bird midair. Wow!
Does it say if the cat lived?
That's what I'm looking for.
I can't imagine. We could stop
reading.
Well,
the cat's got 9 lives. I mean.
What life do you think it was on? Well, it was in the eagle's grasp.
Let's see if it says.
David Jennings just texted me, wasn't that cat dead?
Hey, David.
David. Why didn't he call it?
Yeah, why didn't you call it
a
pirate? What the heck? Some people aren't dedicated.
Dang.
I'm trying to go through this, and it doesn't, unless I'm missing
which is quite possible. There'll be another set of eyes for
it. It doesn't say that. No, never mind. Dead.
Dead. Ooh. Yeah, we probably could have stopped reading there.
No. Yeah. I mean, this is life. Okay.
This is the circle of life. The only thing that's unfortunate is if the eagle would have at least eaten the cat, which I don't think are birds.
Carnivores?
They are, but not cats. But eagles do like throw goats off of mountains. Well, so that's how they kill their prey.
By bashing their heads in?
Yeah, they'll bring them up and throw them off mountains. Literally.
And then go get them.
And then go get them. But wow. If the cat went through the windshield, I mean, what a waste. What a waste of effort and time and energy, yeah. And now the eagle has to go find something else.
Yeah, but still, just doing the headline on that story is a grabber.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I will say some of these stories that we send you, the headline is great, and then read the story and it's nothing. Like, you're like, what the hell?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I get into these, it's like, okay, the firefighter fishes a deer out of water retention pond in Virginia. That's great. It's good for the firefighters. It's good for the,
Deer.
It's great. But after that, is that really...
Is it sunshine worthy?
A Georgia man wins $10,000 lottery prize on his wife's birthday. I mean...
Did you see that the ShamWell guy is running for Congress? In Texas?
I didn't get to that story yet, but I saw the... I saw it across the Sunshine Lollipop and Rainbow news desk, if that's where you're driving at. Yeah. I forgot about the ShamWow guy.
Right?
Yeah.
I forgot.
He must be financially solvent enough to mount a political campaign.
Why do so many of these types of people run for office?
Because they're famous.
I don't know.
That's what I'm like. What?
Okay, you want to hear something really ridiculous?
I opened the door.
It must have been a joke, but it came so randomly. I was doing this interview 2 weeks ago with a sort of an archivist guy who wants Jim Hampton's his name. He wants to talk to radio personalities and keep a catalog and all that stuff. And he says, so. What are you going to do when you decide to hang them up, so to speak? Politics? I went, what? Are you out of your mind?
I'd vote for you.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. No one's voting for me because I'm not running for anything except to get the hell out of here. Okay. Hey, thank you guys for coming on tonight.
Of course.
You know how much I appreciate that.
Happy Thanksgiving.
You know it. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Raleigh James is next. Good night and good luck.